So we went underwater at baptism. We came up as new women, as new men. And it was with a promise to God that we were going to change, that our lives took on completely different meaning. We vowed, when we were baptized, to leave behind the old thoughts that led us, the old thoughts that we relied on, and instead to allow God to be our guide, to be the master, the new master of our thoughts and our emotions and everything that we are. We left all of that behind when we were baptized. So how many people here knew exactly what they were getting into? I raised my hand rhetorically in case there is somebody that felt they need to raise their hand. I had no idea the consequences of what I was doing, the complexities of what I was doing. And we all might have been a little bit, it's really naive, but it would be very difficult for everybody to understand exactly what was in store for us. To understand exactly the trials that we would go through, the way that God would test each and every one of us because of this fulfillment in becoming who we are going to be, who He has given us a chance to be. You know, God's part in this was that He would bring us along, that He would be part of our lives. He would fulfill His side of the deal by testing us, by giving us trials to make us grow stronger, to make us better than we were before baptism. None of us would understand. We understood kind of the commitment, I guess, we were getting into, but we did not understand what maybe was all involved in that. You know, the shedding of that old skin is necessary for us and our part in our salvation. You know, it's a lot like a snake shedding its skin. That snake skin, when it sheds it, it's because it has a very limited capacity for growth and enlargement. When a snake outgrows the skin it's in, it sheds that outer layer and starts anew. Starts fresh with something different. Because what it was previously in cannot contain what it is going to become. Of course, that is more evident as a young snake as opposed to one that has reached almost its maximum growth, but still, they have to shed in order to grow. And this process the snake goes through is very analogous to our spiritual growth. We must be continually growing, continually shedding these outer layers as we overcome trials, overcome our sins, overcome things in our lives, as we try to gain that greater, or become that greater person through our continuous repentance. But how many of us find we kind of cling to those old skins, maybe even cherishing it, unwilling to completely get rid of that which we are supposed to shed ourselves of? Or at worst, as many people have done in our previous fellowships, spending time to try to crawl back into that old skin, that which they shed, which we all shed when we were baptized, when we agreed to take on this responsibility of housing God's Spirit. When we made that commitment, we agreed that we're going to get rid of some of these old things in our lives. Well, brother, we aren't alone in that struggle, that unwillingness to cling back to the old. Romans 7 and 15. Romans 7, starting in verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Paul fought throughout his life to do what was right, what he knew was right, and yet he still continually felt that desire, felt that carnality pulling him back. Now, of course, we know he won this race, that he overcame those things, but that tendency was still with him. And as strong of a man as he was, you know, we can at least take that as encouragement that we're all going to have this struggle. We're all going to have to fight against that. Paul did, and there is a crown for him because of his struggles. You know, Paul knew that it was the skin that dwelt within him, that old man, causing him to be pulled away from the truth, from the new man that he was to become. It was those old tendencies. You know, as I said, he fought against that pull throughout his life. So the fact that we struggle with that isn't anything new, isn't anything unique. Throughout all of Christianity, of true Christianity, that has been what God's people have fought against. And by us doing that, it's how we prove to God that we are, in fact, leaving behind the old skin, leaving behind the old man, the old woman, pursuing that which is new, that which helps us grow and allows us to grow bigger. Romans 6, in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, of Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You know, that old man, that old woman, everything that we once were before our baptism are vestiges. Parts of us that were once useful in leading our desires and our actions. And to call it useful might even be a misnomer. It was what was driving us, those old vestiges. We have something new. We are being led by God now, not by our own motives and our own morals. You know, in biological terms, a vestige is a degenerate or imperfectly developed organ or structure that has little or no utility. But that in an earlier stage of the individual, the organism performed a useful function. Well, the problem with that definition is it's evolutionarily based. You know, was our old form really performing something useful for us, other than allowing us to be guided towards God? That old form was leading us to death. A life without God, a life stuck in that stasis with those old ways, does not lead to life. It leads to death. You know, our vestiges, those things that we have still kind of clinging to us that aren't really useful, those parts of the skin that we've tried to shed and then we haven't, those relics of our old life are still visible, still trying to perform a function within us. But by necessity, they must be expunged. They must not have any ability to, or hope of growing within us spiritually. Those things of the old person will not allow us to grow and become the new if we continually cling on to them. You know, while we hang on to that old woman, to that old man, we are slaves to it, simply put. And we are not slaves, we are not servants of God. Romans 6, continuing a little bit further in this chapter. Romans 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And that's what we must do, brethren. We must become slaves of righteousness, completely removing these leftovers, these vestiges of what we once were. So what do we have growing within ourselves then? You know, we should be overcoming and evolving, to use an evolutionary term. We must be changing into something new, something greater, something that does not desire those old ways, something that is not liable to fall back into that old methodology of thought. You know, snakes don't have the intelligence that mankind does, and yet they are smart enough to not continually try to crawl back into their old skins. They were created with a purpose, with instinct to know not to do that, and yet mankind cannot seem to overcome that instinct very easily. It's difficult. It's what we battle into our entire lives. So why does that seem desirous to you and I? You know, it is one of the great struggles for those that have been gifted with this understanding, with God's Spirit. There's something we must do if we really do want to remove all of this from ourselves. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's the kind of the key. We must be always willing to change and to follow after God's will, not our own. And we have been given a set of tools to help us fight against those temptations that Paul himself even faced, that all Christians that have gone after this path face. But are we using them to the fullest extent? Are we using Bible? Are we using prayer? Are we showing love as Christ showed love continually and building and keeping those tools working? Or when we do use them, do we find them rusty? Do we find them tarnished? Is it necessary for us to get them back in order every time we want to use them? Because that will not help us shed this old skin. That will not help us become the new man and woman that we are supposed to be. Luke 9, verse 62, I'll quote, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" You know, we all are pushing that proverbial plow through our lives, or throughout our lives. When we are plowing a field, it takes great intent, great eye contact with what we are doing to watch that furrow that we are driving down that dirt field. If we turn and make about face, make a 180 degree in our direction that we are going, the path that we are trying to create will be marred. It will be ruined. That's the reason we cannot turn back when we put our hand to that plow. But you know, that same furrow will be marred if we slightly deviate from the path as well. If by just moving a little bit, time and time again, if allowing these tools to slowly tarnish, not be used, we will end the same way. Through either misuse, through either neglect, if we ignore that path that's led before us, we will go off course. And we will, in either case, whether we make it a 180 degree or we allow ourselves to continually go off that path, we will end the same place, and that's a spiritual death. Brethren, Paul, as I've focused a lot on this sermonette, he overcame this, as I said already. There was a crown laid up before him. And he gave us encouraging words as we go about our daily lives, as we're trying to shed that old man and that old woman. Romans 8 and verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present age, or this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul knew what was laid up before us, the crowns that were laid before us, what it took, and he fought that race. He won. You know, this is why he fought so strongly against his own will, against the old ways, the old man that was in himself, and why he encouraged the church through his writings to do the same, to follow after his examples. He knew what was promised to those who were willing to overcome that old man, that old woman, and to those who embraced the new.